Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, have you survived our heat wave?
Initially, no. Jimmy, I overextended myself stupidly. You know, sometimes you forget you're old. You know you're old, you feel like it, but your mind forgets to tell you that you're old. You know, that kind of forgetful that you're old. And I overextended myself in the heat. So I've pulled back and been smarter this week, but I can't help myself. I'm headed back out to golf.
Well, first of all, that was going to be my question. What did you do to exert yourself? Was it golf or something else?
Well, golf was a small part of it, but I also I did too much in too many days, and then, you know, out rucking for 5 miles in the heat, hydrated and everything. It's just, you know, stupidly on Saturday decided to wash, wax, detail, clean three vehicles. Okay, that's 5.5 or 6 hours in the sun. I enjoyed it. I wanted to do it. It felt great getting it done. You suffer a little bit for that at our age.
Yes, we do. I managed to do 9 holes of golf, riding a cart, staying well hydrated. So I survived it, Andy. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to Penn State football. Last week, Andy, the Nittany Lions, well, they didn't have a very good week either. Like you, it was a down week. Marcus Freeman stole James Franklin's lunch money last week. Three highly regarded recruits from the Penn State area, a couple of them from Pennsylvania, made their decision, made commitments to Notre Dame. Grayson McKeo, an offensive tackle, 4-star. Kerry Adams, a cornerback out of Maryland, another 4-star guy. And probably the one that hurt the most, Joey O'Brien, big-time safety out of the Philadelphia area. Kid, tall for a safety, but so athletic. Actually, potentially, Andy, a two-way guy. And when he visited Penn State, he made the statement. He quoted James Franklin as saying, he said he's not going to allow me out of the state, Andy. And, you know, there was no doubt Penn State really wanted him. And then to add insult to injury, Luke Waifel, out of New Jersey, very highly regarded defensive end, and his brother came to Penn State.
Owen transferred to Penn State, yeah.
Yeah, so it seemed like there was some advantage there. He made his way to USC. Just first, Andy, your general thoughts.
Yeah, it's it was a bad week. Yeah, there's three of them. I think the O'Brien one is the one that really – that's the one I think Penn State thought it might have the upper hand. I think inside the room, I think Penn State knew Adams and McKeel were 50-50 props, right? Like, they wanted them. They're high on their list. They were in a dogfight, and then they knew it. I think they thought they were an 80-20 with O'Brien. You know, that's just my inclination, that they thought they were, you know, going to at least get one win. When it came head-to-head with Notre Dame, look, these are, you know, a lot of times in college football, we've talked about this, Jimmy, you know, it's the best way to put it. You're not comparing apples to apples or oranges to oranges. When it comes to comparing Penn State and Notre Dame on about 96 fronts, right, it just keeps right now, where both of them are at, et cetera, it's just like it's apples to apples and oranges to oranges. It's very similar. This on top of, don't forget, Penn State's longtime running back coach, associate head coach, co-offensive coordinator, all the titles, you know, James gave Jay Wonsider. He made a completely lateral move to Notre Dame. That's him and Marcus Freeman are buddies. They go way back. They're Paisans from when they were Greenhorn coaches together, right? They've had a long-standing life relationship outside of coaching. But at the same time, they stole Penn State's, you know, really, really, really good running back coach and recruiter. They got him. And go back beyond that, Notre Dame won the football game, right, Jimmy? They played, and hey, Notre Dame won the football game. So last week was a bad week on the recruiting trail. It's been a little bit of, you know, when you compare apples to apples, it looks like one's kind of galloping away from the stable a little bit from the other. But that's, to me, it's just eye candy. They're so similar in so many ways, Jimmy, that, you know, they're going to clash heads on these kind of fronts consistently. Maybe, God, it would be great to see him play on the football field again, right? It's a slim chance of that happening, but it would be great to see. From me, the college football fan, I don't know about you, the Penn State / college football fan, but I'd love to see him play again. Boy, I'd love to see him play this year in the college football playoffs. But on the recruiting front, yep, James got beat last week. That doesn't happen very often in sort of a bunches and bags like this, but it doesn't mean like Penn State's falling apart. They've fallen off the map. They have a crappy recruiting class now. Let's be realistic here. You know, James sucks at his job. None of that is true, Jimmy. So it was just a bad week.
Well, here's my take on it, Andy, and why it concerns me, Notre Dame coming in and doing this. Much of it is based on the things that you said. I think of Notre Dame and Penn State as having the similarities, okay?
Right.
I think they look for the same type of player. I don't, you know, it's not the same thing as the Southeast Conference team coming up here and, you know, pulling players out of Pennsylvania, which can happen, but you feel it's a one-off. And I'll make the comparison. The one player that Penn State lost to USC, Luke Wafel, the story is he was down to – Penn State wasn't even in the final two. It was a USC versus Ohio State, and it became a bidding war.
Yeah, okay. That's going to happen today, right?
It was about the money. And not that I blame the kid for this. Maybe he looked at everything else, liked both programs, and said, hey, the money will be the tiebreaker. But USC, which has not been performing on the field, and in fact, their coach, he better improve this season, Andy. But this was totally and completely about money. That's just the way it's going to be. Doesn't concern me. But with Notre Dame, I think you get the same sales pitch at Notre Dame as you get at Penn State.
Correct.
About all of the other things. The atmosphere, the family feeling, the academics, correct, the long tradition. You brought this up the other day when we were chatting. They both have a similar feel. The campus is small town, middle of nowhere. Marcus Freeman, James Franklin, both dynamic recruiters, want to talk about more than just, hey, here's more money, come here. They want to talk even more than about just football. A lot of similarities. And you add to it, Andy, Notre Dame has a long history in Pennsylvania. They have roots here. Past Penn State, probably the number two team in Pennsylvania with a fan base is Notre Dame.
I would agree. It's a very loyal fan base in Pennsylvania. Very strong in Pennsylvania.
So, you know, my question, Andy, is should this – where USC, hey, you wanted the kid, but that's the way it goes. Is Notre Dame, though, a real threat going forward? It's not just about this past week. Is this a concern going forward?
So I would caution you have to make sure you don't get lost in these kind of things. Look, this can This is what I call Jim Croce time in the bottle. See, I like to do old school music references. This is a time in the bottle moment, right? They are not, nothing is going to change in terms of them being very similar, like-minded. All the things that you've listed already, that's not going to change because of this for either program, Jimmy, right? Nothing changes. It's just what Marcus had a little better week than James more recently. He's got a few more recruits recently. He won the game recently. They're not an existential football threat. They're so similar. These kind of head-to-head things are going to continue to happen, Jimmy. And I don't think it's a matter of Marcus versus James. I think it's Penn State versus Notre Dame. The personalities of Marcus versus James, Marcus and James, come into play, but it still comes down to Notre Dame versus Penn State. And it's I think you're going to win as much as you lose on that front, on the outside of it. The other thing, from a Penn State perspective, don't get your eye on the wrong prize. This isn't, they're not in your conference. They're not a threat in the Big Ten. They're not in the way of you accomplishing stuff that your program wants to accomplish. They're an outside shot at maybe having to face them in a college football playoff game, right? They are not a direct threat. They are just one. They are at the top of the list of the five or six existential threats outside the Big Ten that happen to be programs that compete for similar type players. There's not many of them that Penn State has. Notre Dame's clearly at the top of the list, but I would be cautious in saying this isn't a direct threat, right? It's not like, is it mildly problematic? Maybe if you're a Penn State fan, yeah, we lost a few players, but when you dig down to it and look at it, and we'll talk about that in quarter number two, it literally comes out in the wash. So be careful digging deep on, you know, well, Penn State's now leapfrogged Notre Dame. Well, because of this, I say no. My thing is Notre Dame won the football game. That's a bit. Penn State wins its football game. Is it different? I don't know. But at least you can, hey, Penn State won the football game. Notre Dame's got checkbox, but go back to the big one. They won the football game.
All right, Andy, we're up against the hard break here for quarter number one. When we come back, I'm going to respond to what you had to say. Stay tuned for that.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. And Andy, we're talking about the recent recruiting issues, difficulties Penn State had versus mostly Notre Dame. Penn State losing three recruits from their traditional territory, including a couple from the state of Pennsylvania that they really did not want to see leave the state. I remember the old, the best in PA, stay in PA. Well, not always the case.
Yeah, NIL's changed all that. Yeah.
Well, and that's the, I think, part of the question, Andy. Right. Recruiting now for Penn State, I'm not sure that teams with you talking about, hey, Notre Dame's not even in the same conference as Penn State. If they play, it'll be a playoff game. And just luck of the draw,
correct,
chances are they probably won't be playing them.
Exactly.
But I don't care, okay, whether they play them or not. This is about recruiting. This is about the acquisition of talent. And there are going to be times when, hey, you could lose a player anywhere. You know, Anai White, a couple years ago, big-time recruit out of Philadelphia, chose to go to Texas A&M. You had Julian Fleming choose to go to Ohio State. These were major players in the state of Pennsylvania.
Now, and Micah Parsons choose to go to Penn State. I'm just going to counter. You got the ones that got away. I'll keep the ones that stayed home.
You know, plenty of players have stayed.
Yeah.
My point being, well, first of all, though, Micah Parsons, very good chance he would have gone to Ohio State if not for a couple little complications to that story, Andy, which we don't need to get into.
I know them in detail, yes.
But my point is, losing the one-off to any of these other schools, I'm not that concerned. When you hear a player going to Texas A&M, you immediately say, it's about the money. This year, a player going to USC, I just say it's about the money. A player going to Ohio State, yeah, that hurts, like when a Julian Fleming goes to Ohio State, but you still feel like Ohio State is a very different program than Penn State, a very different culture. You don't see Ohio State coming in hardcore into Pennsylvania to take away Penn State players. Notre Dame, what scares me about them is exactly what you talked about, their similarity to Penn State. Their sales pitch going to be similar. But will they end up with just maybe a little bit higher profile? And as you pointed out, they beat Penn State last year in the playoffs.
Won the football game. Yep.
Made it to the college football championship game. We always talk about recruits, the shiny new toy. Well, Marcus Freeman is kind of the shiny new toy at Notre Dame. Young coach, you know, very dynamic. Could we now fear that Notre Dame will be that existential threat to come into Penn State's traditional backyard, which isn't just in Pennsylvania, but also New Jersey, Virginia, Maryland,
yeah,
where most of the other schools, hey, you know, we talk quite a bit now with Mike Villagrana from Happy Valley United, who used to be part of the Virginia Tech staff. And he's told multiple stories of players in Virginia who they were going after hot and heavy, thought they were in great shape until Penn State marches in the door.
Right.
And they lose that player to Penn State. Notre Dame's a different animal. They're not Virginia Tech. They're not Maryland. I am concerned about Notre Dame coming in and recruiting, Andy.
Yeah, and you should be, right? Because Marcus has a lot to sell. He knows what he's looking for. And because, just like you said, him and James are so similar, they're looking for, generally speaking, you would say, if you gave each of them as a coaching staff, 100-player recruiting list, right? I'll bet you they would have 80 guys crossover, at least 80. In other words, I think they're looking for similar. They're not necessarily always looking for the best one, Jimmy. They are, but they're also looking for the right one. And not everybody does that. Some are just looking for the best one that'll take the money, right? Like, they're looking to buy the best recruit that they can. That's not what Notre Dame and Penn State are doing. They're looking for the best ones that are the right ones, or the right ones that are also the best ones. It's potato, potato to me. They are looking for the kind of exact same player. So in this regional area, yeah, they're going to be going head-to-head more. I think in the 27, 28, and 29 classes, you look forward to the next three classes, that's going to be interesting to follow, because I went back and looked at the last three classes. They're right next to each other. You know what I mean? They're both right in the same zip code in terms of the 23, 24, and 25 classes. They're kind of right next to each other in terms of, you know, generally speaking, across the board recruiting rankings. Notre Dame and Penn State are right next to each other. They're within two or three of each other, all three of those years. So, yes, they have been going after the same guys, and it's been a 50-50. This one, becomes more highlighted this year and now because A, it mostly Joey O'Brien. B, they took their running back coach. C, they won the football game. Right? So there is more attention on it. I think it's always been sort of there, especially in the last couple of years, but I think going forward it's going to be much more prominent because let's face it, Penn State and Notre Dame, who are the two fastest risers in the blue bloods of college football in the last 3 to 5 years? It's those two, right? Those two teams have been on the rise and are now sniffing around that elite area. They're going to go head-to-head, Jimmy.
They are, Andy, and like I said, that's concerning to me. And Notre Dame, as you pointed out, they won the game. They went a step further. They went to the national championship game. They stole away a very good running back coach. And
stole as you pointed away.
Out, yeah, they did. It's if they had brought him in as their offensive coordinator, you say, okay, you know, I don't say Duke stole Manny Diaz. Right. They made him head coach. That's true. They gave him the promotion.
I agree. Right?
That's the way the coaching world works. But this going to a comparable position from Penn State to Notre Dame, not a good look, Andy.
Not a good look at all. No. And I think Juwan and Marcus had a relationship that after 8 years at Penn State, Juwan was like, you know what? I'm just going to, what do I think? Do I want to stay here or do I want to look at something different? And he was not going to get an offensive coordinator position. That was already that ship in this new hiring cycle between seasons had sailed. And I was like, I think he just wanted to try something different and do it with Marcus because they're very, very good friends. And I don't think in any way, shape, or form, this I am convicted of, there was absolutely nothing wrong with the relationship between James and Juwan Cider. Nothing. It's just Juwan's preference was to try it somewhere different. And it just happened to be Notre Dame, and it's a bad look.
That's my point. It's the perception of it, Andy, because I think Penn State on the field, I think they replaced him with a very good running backs coach.
Agreed.
So, you know,
they have a better running back room.
And
Penn State has a better running back room than Notre Dame.
Yes, they do. Some would argue or debate the point, but I won't. Okay.
Yeah, depth wise, no. I think Notre Dame has a higher ceiling in terms of a top one back, but I think Penn State has a better running back room.
But it creates this perception, Andy. Yep. Now, just to make this not all doom and gloom,
right?
This week, Penn State did get back on the scoreboard with a recruiting victory. A player by the name of Pierce Peterson from Minnesota picked Penn State over Minnesota. Now, right away, there'll be a lot of critics that say, oh, wow, you beat Minnesota out for a recruit. So what? But what I'll argue, the kid is a four-star. He's 6'5". I've seen him listed at 180, 190, and 200 pounds.
Right.
There's no doubt once he gets to Penn State, he'll end up being much larger than 200 pounds. A lot of folks recruited him as a linebacker. Penn State recruited him as a tight end. I suspect that had something to do with the kid's decision. And also, the kid was a high school quarterback. I say was. I don't know going into a senior season if he'll continue to play quarterback. But the kid is immensely athletic, very talented athlete, basketball player, track, runs a 4.5 40 for his, you know, for that size. Very good high jump. This is the Penn State style recruit, Andy. Very athletic, very long, you know, at 6'5". Penn State will undersize as far as weight goes. This is the kind of guy, and it seems like the tight ends that they bring in, Andy, they're all former quarterbacks.
Yeah, They beat Minnesota, but they beat Minnesota out on a kid that Minnesota is, you know, licking its wounds, because that's the kind of kid that they need to help them, you know, sort of inch a little bit forward. Penn State's like, oh, you fit in our wheelhouse. We've got a wheelhouse built to make you a next level player, right? They do. They have all the ingredients and all the, you know, all the machines you could ever need on your counter to make a, you know, like the, you talk about multi-sports, tight end, athletic, quarterback, smart player, blah, 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 blah. And that was his choice. That's Penn State walking in and saying, hey, we got it ready built for you. You get to choose with your heart, or you can choose with your head. Because his heart's going to be Minnesota kid, right? His head's going to be like, I should go where someone can build me into a next level player sooner than later. That's what Penn State does with tight ends. That's the kind of, that's not looking for the best. Four star, you take all four stars. Take them all. You're not looking for the quote unquote, the absolute best. You're looking for the right one. Doesn't that feel like the right one, Jimmy? That kind of sort of solidifies my sort of what they look for in players, both at Notre Dame and at Penn State.
There's no doubt about that, Andy. We'll pick up this discussion in quarter four, but first, it's quarter three. Your questions, we ask Andy.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. We know what that means. It's time for your questions, and we're going to ask Andy. You want to give Andy a question? Real simple. Just download our app, Keystone Sports. Keystone Sports. That's all. When you do your search, Keystone Sports, and you'll see the Ask Andy button. You ready to go, Andy?
I'm ready, Jimmy. Let's do it.
Okay. Let's start with Mike in Bowlesburg. I hear people complaining about Penn State's 2025 schedule. Based on last year's rankings, we have the second toughest schedule. My method may not be perfect, but close enough, I guess people are really upset about no big out-of-conference games. You have to do a bit of scrolling, but there's a list at the bottom. He gave me a link here, Andy. We don't need to go to the details of the link, but I think Mike's argument is that Penn State, just with their conference schedule, games against Oregon, Ohio State, Indiana, Iowa, especially if you base it on like where teams finished a year ago, Indiana was a top 10 team. Oregon, Ohio State was the national champion. Oregon was the only undefeated regular season team. Mike's argument is, isn't that enough?
It's not a difficult schedule. I'd like to find the ranking service that ranked them number two. There's no Michigan. There's no Illinois. These are 2025 teams that might be a little different than 2024. Oh, by the way, Indiana still has to validate. Are they the same team or are they a different team? If they're the same team, then Penn State's schedule is better. Come on. I mean, that non-conference schedule is – that's embarrassing. Just quote someone. That's embarrassing. That's just not anything close to what this team needs in terms of preparation on a schedule. So, yeah, on the win front, it's going to get you what you want. They're going to have a better roster than everybody except maybe Oregon and maybe Ohio State. And we still got to wait and see if that plays out. That's the two games. They have two big games. Do the other games matter? Freaking absolutely. Yes, they do. But I think Penn State fans kind of miss this. And I'm going to generalize here. and I think this is important. Pay attention to where the depth and you know what Penn State does when it has more talent and a better roster than the opponent. They're really hard to beat, and they win probably 90% of those games, Jimmy, especially in the last 3 years under James Franklin. When they have the better roster, they generally are difficult to beat and do not lose. And they had the better roster against Notre Dame. And 90% of it fired on all cylinders and played outstanding. The game was well coached by Penn State. One position and they lost a football game, massively underperformed. But generally speaking, watch for that and see. Like in some of these 50-50 games where it's like, well, Penn State's better than Iowa a little bit, or Penn State's better than Illinois, or Penn State's better than Indiana. But, you know, the other team's playing well, but Penn State ends up winning the game convincingly. So that's something to pay attention to.
All right, Andy, I'm going to argue both ways with Mark, for him and against him. I don't think there's anything wrong as far as the overall quality of Penn State's schedule by playing in the Big Ten, playing Agreed. Both Oregon and Ohio State.
Agreed.
Yes, that's a tough enough schedule. Yep. What I will argue, the out-of-conference schedule, you know what, and I wonder, too, if it's just – you don't have to do – like Ohio State's playing Texas this year.
You don't have to do that.
I admire that, both teams picking that kind of opponent in the out-of-conference. But for Penn State, how about over the last couple of years where they had West Virginia and Auburn, and I would take that. Just play a legitimate team. I know there's some economic issues. Both those teams, they did a home-and-home series with, and they want the extra home game because of the payday for that. I understand that's part of the equation, but please, how about playing at least one team with a pulse? So speaking of schedules, Tony from Philadelphia says, I remember having to sweat out a victory over Bowling Green last year. Who might be a team on this year's schedule who will turn out to be much more competitive than expected?
Who?
Andy?
Man.
I gave it some thought. Let me throw out a couple names for you.
Okay. And
at Iowa, now maybe that doesn't qualify here because we know Iowa at Iowa can be an issue. And it's also the week before they play Ohio State. The other game I thought of, Nebraska. Now that's at home, and I think they'll win. But Nebraska, they've got a quarterback who played last year as a true freshman.
Yep.
Might he be dangerous? And here's my pick, though, of a team that kind of fits that Bowling Green thing that Tony was looking for. At UCLA on October 4th, which is the week after they play Oregon, which means they'll be coming off either a huge, huge victory or a very disappointing loss.
Yeah.
Then have to travel cross country. Because it's at UCLA.
Good quarterback. So,
and I think that they'll beat UCLA. But if you want something, you know, if you were looking for a version of Bowling Green, that would be my pick.
Yeah, so this is the way I feel about it. And I like, because UCLA's got a quality quarterback. You have to go playing at the Rose Bowl, which is really cool. Great stadium. I think you're having to create one. I think I'm in my mind, I'm thinking, do I have to kind of create one? I don't really see one. I just think their roster is going to be that they're just going to be that much better. And it's a good question, Tony. It's a really good question. And I'm thinking, well, I kind of have to create that right now. Right now, I'd have to create one. And I'm not willing to do that. I don't see one.
Remember, a year ago, they had way more talent than Bowling Green.
There will be one, Jimmy. Make no doubt about it. Somebody will rise up and make their kitchen hot on a Saturday.
Those things do happen. And nobody would have guessed Bowling Green a year ago. Like I said, I'll, you know, throw out UCLA. Remember, UCLA finished strong last year also. Okay, Kurt from Lehigh Valley says, what are the rules regarding international student athletes and NIL? Are they able to accept NIL compensation? Are there any rules regarding international student athletes being compensated in connection to the House settlement?
Man, I have no idea, because I would say an international student, I would think there has to be some work visa stuff with that.
Right. Andy, you're on the right path. There has been an issue with NIL, with international players not being able to do it. And at first I didn't understand why, but I think once I explain, you'll understand. The typical visa for these athletes who are students, okay, they get what's considered a student visa.
Correct.
The student visa means you could come over here for school, not for work.
Not for a job.
Correct. Okay, so just think in general terms. Forget that they're athletes. Just think about someone coming in internationally as a student. They didn't want people kind of using that as a back door to come into this country to work.
Correct.
So they had some limited rules. You could, you know, like work at the school, or if your area of study, you could do something, you know, a research.
Could have an internship.
Something like that.
Familiar with it.
The fact is, with the House settlement, the question, even with that money directly coming from the university, is it's not been stated yet. Remember, they don't want to call these students employees. So there's still some argument, but probably to the point, nobody wants to be the first one to say, yeah, it's okay to pay the international students. But it wouldn't surprise me if as things there's always unintended consequences, things you don't think about going into something major like the House settlement. And I think international student athletes is going to be one of those unintended consequences. And especially if you look at basketball, Andy, a lot of European players, correct, a lot of international players are coming in for that.
Yep. Interesting. That's a good question. I would have thought the work or student visa would be a hurdle to receiving compensation, because they're clearly distinctly different.
It is. And that's, you know, that's all part of it. Let's see if we can sneak one more in.
Yeah, one more.
Jimmy from Forest City, our buddy, says, if Penn State plays deep into the playoffs, do you think Andy Kotelnicki will leave for a head coach opportunity? And how will the college football playoff schedule affect his ability to leave?
The college football, that's an interesting one, how the college football playoff schedule affects the coaching carousel window, right? Like that one I don't have an answer to. Do I think Andy, no, I'd say no. Maybe if they win a national championship, maybe it's different.
The problem is,
I don't think so. I don't think he's got enough salt and pepper. He's a really good offensive coordinator. Does Andy Kotelnicki strike you as head coach material?
You know, Andy, these guys, that's what they want. They want to be the head coach.
I know
they
want to
be the head man. And what Jimmy's pointing out is the playoff schedule, when they're in the midst of the playoffs, is exactly when most of these head coaching hires happen.
Correct.
Because the school bringing that guy in does not want to wait. So, you know, it's two separate questions. As you were answering it, will Andy Kotelnicki want to leave after another year? And will, you know, another school want to bring him in? But the thing is, if there is that opportunity, my answer is, yeah, it'll interfere with the playoffs.
Yeah, I say no, he stays. I say no, he's not going away as a head coach.
And that's based on, you know, your feeling about Andy Kotelnicki.
Correct.
My answer is based on if that were to happen, yeah, it would be an interruption. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter three. Stick around. More to go.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. We're talking college football. We are specifically about Penn State. Some recruiting losses last week to Notre Dame. They did pick up a four-star. Penn State's calling him a tight end, listed a lot of places as an athlete. Pierce Peterson from Minnesota. He's 6 foot five, weighing anywhere between 180 and 200 pounds, Andy, based on who you get your information from. But one of the points I wanted to make with him, and it just piggybacks on what you were talking about, where Penn State and Notre Dame have the similarity of not just wanting good players, they want the right players. But in working, over the last several weeks with Mike Villagrana from Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective. Now, he had worked at Penn State. He was on the coaching staff or on the staff, the recruiting staff, years ago.
Correct.
Like 2016, 17, that era. Mm. He's back again in the Penn State fold. And I asked him about the differences from then to now. And he said one of the things he saw in the differences in the players that they recruit back then, they really put an emphasis on getting great athletes. Now, he said, it's about getting great athletes who are also big. Length may even be a more accurate way to put it.
Yeah, Penn State's all about length. They're all about athletic length.
So this kid is an athlete, this Pierce Peterson. He's very athletic, and he's very long. By the way, one of the reasons why they wanted Joey O'Brien so badly, because he's length. Very long. And that's this Pierce Peterson really fits that mold, runs track, plays basketball. Been playing quarterback, which shows you how the athleticism.
What are they going to give him, 44?
You beat me to the punch, Andy. That there's another recent tight end who kind of fit that description. If you had seen Tyler Warren's basketball highlights, remembering that he was also a quarterback. And they're not the only ones. They've had other tight ends. In fact, currently I know Joey Schlaffer was a quarterback in high school also. So long, athletic, that's what they're looking for all over the field, Andy, and he very much fits that. I wanted to hit some more points going on with recruiting, Andy, because we are going through a real transition, not just with NIL, but also with the House settlement, Andy. And one of the House settlement will take effect July 1st. So guess what's going on?
Next week, everything's being set up for the House settlement.
But right now, Andy, you could make agreements with players and spend money.
Based on the House settlement.
Well, no, based on before the House settlement.
Oh, before you mean?
Before the rules kick
like
in.
Like the extra money. Ah.
Because, Andy, the rules are going to say, okay, the universities can now put out like about $20, $21 million to their student athletes across the board.
Right.
Of athletic that department. Money, right. The vast majority of that is going to go to football.
Correct.
Maybe like 16, 17 million of it. But now the differentiation is going to be how much NIL money can you bring in over and above that amount of money?
Correct.
And, Andy, the other part to this is part of the House settlement is any NIL deal over $600 has to essentially go through a clearinghouse for them to say, hey, this is legitimate or not. For example, Arch Manning doing a national campaign with Nissan, maybe the Heisman House, you know, something to that effect, that's going to get paid a lot more
than $600.
Who's selling? Well, but if it's more than 600, you can look, hey, this is a national campaign.
Correct. Yeah. That's going to make serious money.
It's going to make serious money. But over here, when you're making an appearance at the local pizza shop, that's not going to get you as much NIL money, or shouldn't, as Arch Manning is in doing a national campaign for Nissan. That's what they're going to be looking at, Andy. Can they enforce it?
I don't know, Jimmy. I really, maybe I go back. I'm landing on your previous point where you say the House settlement's about to kick in. And on the surface, right, you think that makes it like everyone's going to get, you know, a regulated set amount of money. So therefore, it levels the playing field. It's just going to level the starting point. But still, this has been about, and it will be about the next level money, right? So, okay, so you're going to give Penn State and, you know, $21 million for its athletic department, and they're going to be able to commit $16 million of it to football. Guess what? So is Notre Dame. So is Ohio State. So is Maryland. You know what I mean? Like, okay, well, what, everyone's going to have that, so that in theory might, you would think, would level the playing field. It's all about the next level of the collective money and how much of that you can use. You know, I think how you use that $16 million in football, for example, using the number you gave, is important. How much of that is in recruiting and how much of that is in roster retention? We've been talking about Notre Dame and Penn State today. Let's be honest, Jimmy. Who's got the better roster going into 2025? Penn State. End of story. Don't even try and debate me on that. Who did a better job of roster retention and using their NIL, you know, those funds and try and keep their roster? Penn State, they did a good job on, better job on both of those fronts. Notre Dame still won the football game, by the way. But on both those fronts, I think they did an outstanding job. Overall, if you look at the three areas, who's doing a better job? Roster development, A to Z. Notre Dame's doing a really, really good job. Penn State's doing just a little bit better. So, you know, Notre Dame's playing a little bit of catch up on some fronts. That's what makes them so similar to each other. But I don't know how you regulate that. Go back to your original question, Jimmy. I have no idea. Anytime it's anything regarding NIL in this Wild West that becomes regulated, sort of becomes like, what are they? It sort of ends up like the initial, you remember in the transfer, with the transfer portal, the you had to file for something to get permission, and it was like, what are they doing? And it ended up being just a mess. So,
Andy, you know, here the question, you know, here, it's not so much about Notre Dame. I think it's about probably more about the teams down south who, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
You said it, not me.
And the other part to it, Andy, is from state to state, it appears like Tennessee's essentially, their state legislature is saying, nope, not for our teams. If you're a school in Tennessee, nope, the NCAA, they don't have the power over you. They can't punish you for that. You know, we're giving you a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Right, do what you want.
Which leads to, and I read, you know, just one article on this, and it was a ridiculous exaggeration. It's not going to happen that, well, if Tennessee doesn't fall in the line, the Southeast Conference would kick them out, okay? That's not going to happen. But what it does, Andy, I think, is it brings up the point. The conferences are the ones who have the power, not the NCAA.
All of it.
And specifically the Big Ten and Southeast Conference, because they're the ones who negotiate the television schedules. Now, if the Big Ten and Southeast Conference commissioners get together and say, hey, look, this war has to end. We can't just have, you know, these bidding wars for players. We can't just say, hey, we can get an advantage. Everybody's just going to try to outbid each other. We've got to see if we could enforce it. And they're using this third party, you know, as an independent group.
Correct.
But it's still the same point is, will the conferences get behind
the enforcement?
Right.
Yeah.
And will they say, hey, God, someone will always cheat, Andy. And in fact, you don't even need to have the schools or the state legislature blessing it. You know, it used to be called the $100 handshake, you know, where the rich alum just hands cash right over.
Now it's a $600 handshake. but go ahead. Yeah. I know what you mean, but you're right. And when you're talking the conferences, the NCAA doesn't have any power. Zero. They're a zero-sum game when it comes to college football power. And I'm sorry, the way the power conferences is shaken out now, the SEC and the Big Ten are 80%. The 80-20 rule, I love it. I think it's valid and it applies. Each of them has 40% of the power. If you go looking for the other 20%, I'd say 10% goes to the ACC and 5% goes to the Big 12 and 5% goes to everybody else. That's that. What do they have? 35 schools between the Big 10 and ACC. I think it's 18 and 17. Am I correct? Or is it 18 and 18? Whatever it is. They have mid 30 somethings of the, and they have 95% of the blue blood. So they are completely in charge of this. They are completely running the show, and they are going to dictate the terms of the NIL payments, the house fund, how that looks, how that shapes out, and how it's used will be set, centered, and focused on how the SEC and the Big Ten do it. That's just the way it's going to be.
And ultimately, Andy, there's got to be the agreement from the player. Will the players organize and you get a collective bargaining agreement?
Oof.
It's probably got to happen. To get, though, from here to there, it's going to be messy.
It's really messy.
You know, you don't want to see how the sausage is made here.
Yeah, you don't. You really don't.
It's going to be ugly, but does there have to be that point? But the last overriding thing, and this is why the NCAA lost every time they went to court, is are you restricting a player's ability to make money? So if an alum somewhere says, if Phil Knight wants to tell a kid, come play quarterback at Oregon and I'll give you X million dollars, who is the NCAA to be able to say no to that? And that's where we're at, Andy. All right, that's going to have to be the final word.
Wow.
Thank you, Andy. It went fast.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.